Hey everybody, this is Dominique. If you're ready to do more with your life and money, I want you to stay tuned. If you want to know how to pull off the living the life of your dreams in retirement, avoiding eating cat food under a bridge, get the pen and paper out because I'm about to go through the 10 must-have pre-retirement checklist that you need. Stay tuned.
Are you tired of feeling like there's more to life that you're just not experiencing? Are you unmotivated by keeping up with the status quo? Are you ready to start living intentionally with your finances and creating the life you want? Get ready for Experiencing Financial Contentment with Dominique Henderson, a podcast focused on helping you create margin for the life you want to live by putting your money where your heart is. Each week, Dominique will help you explore the decisions you make around money so that you can achieve better results. Now, here's your host, Dominique Henderson.
Hey, everybody. This is Dominique, owner and founder of DJH Capital Management, where we are helping our clients to achieve their ideal financial outcome, and host of Experiencing Financial Contentment, the podcast, where we help you to do everything around financial literacy, economic empowerment, and personal development. It's all about taking that red pill, right? You know, our repeat listeners know about this. Taking the red pill to leave the matrix of the average to live a life of your dreams. So today we are going to jump into something I think is pretty juicy. Came from me having an article that I read in the Wall Street Journal. And I think, you know, some of the angst around when you're in this transition period from working to retirement, right? No matter what you call it, you know, your sunset years, your golden years, your encore career, you know, there's a lot of, you know, media buzz about not using the term retire. I talk to people all the time, so I'm never going to retire because I love what I do. That's great. But make no mistake about it, there's going to be a time where you're not spending 8 or 10 hours for a specific employer, earning a paycheck and getting benefits and having health insurance coverage and things like that. So when you get from that stage out of accumulation and into the retirement stage, what do you need to do? What are some of the things that need to be in place or that you would like to be on your way towards having so that you can have your ideal retirement? So that's what we're going to talk about today. There's 10 must-haves. So if, let's say you were a client and you were a client of mine and you were like, Dominique, what are the essential things that I need to do in order to not make sure or in order to not be eating cat food under a bridge when I'm getting ready to retire? I don't want to outlive or I don't want my income to not be enough. You know, I want to basically have this life where I'm able to sustain a lifestyle of what I want and what I want to do and travel and things like that. So let's talk about these 10 things. I have a list here. I guess I'll do this too. Let's just pull over the screens. So this is where this came from, right? So this is my website and we'll talk about that. If you stay tuned to the end, I'm going to give you a nice little juicy offer. But this is the article that I'm talking about. So the a generation of Americans is entering old age the least prepared. So it's that shortfall generation. That's what they called it. And there were several stories of these, you know, ladies and gentlemen, some married, some not, that basically had to drastically cut back their lifestyle in retirement because, you know, one or more things were not taken care of. So I'm going to equip you today with those things so that you don't have to worry about that because that's what I like to do. So, okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to pull over the screens and we're going to get started on the very first one. So the very first one would be have access to cash that you can get without penalty, right? So most people are going to accumulate a large sum of money, mostly in pre-retirement a tax-deferred account like an IRA or a 401k or something like that. Well, if you touch that money before 59 and a half, in the case of a IRA, you will be assessed a 10% penalty on those funds. And that can be a large chunk of money that you otherwise could be using for your retirement. So you want to have access to other sources of cash after retirement if you're going to retire early and before 59 and a half, you want to have access to other sources of cash so that you don't grab them penalty free. Another account that may have a sizable amount of change in it or money in it would be your HSA. And those can be drawn with those funds can be withdrawn penalty free and tax free as long as it's for medical purposes. So you just want to make sure that you're building a plan that gives you access to cash so that you don't have to touch accounts that would be a penalty or whatnot. Let's look at the next one. Multiple streams of income. So, you know, one of the things that I've seen kind of torpedo a plan really quickly is, you know, cash flow that is hindered because there's only one source of income. And this typically happens in your working years. You know, usually there's not a lot of things that you can do besides your job. Maybe you have another spouse, so there's two sources of income. But at the end of the day, as you enter retirement, you want to, or even pre-retirement, you want to start building up other sources of income, whether that be rental real estate or real estate period, whether that be, you know, other sources from like an investment portfolio income, you know, maybe a side hustle or a hobby that brings in something. The point is try to have, you know, multiple sources of income instead of just one. Even when you get to retirement, you know, you can have things like pension or Social Security and things like that. So that's another must have. I would say you must have no debt or be very near no debt. And this is more than just numbers because it does hinder cash flow if you have stuff going out the door to pay back things that you bought a long time ago. The mental anguish that I've seen around people that have debt versus people that are debt free is considerable. So you definitely want to lead a stress-free retirement life, no matter what your retirement looks like. So you want to pay down debt or be very near debt payoff. You know, so things like right now, like if you're early 40s or, you know, 30s or whatever, you got a 30-year mortgage. You know, rates are at a point right now. They're about to there's I would say an inflection point about to happen, but it hasn't happened yet. So if you have a 30-year mortgage, it's likely that you can. Rates are low enough where you can get you a 15-year mortgage, cut down on your interest payments, and essentially pay off your house quicker so that you're entering those years of let's say your kids are gone, they're out of college, and you want to be close to paying off your house so that extra cash flow that you're generating can be used to invest, really. So that's what you want to kind of do. So, you know, in a 30-year mortgage ties you up a little bit longer with that debt. So moving on, you must have a spend down strategy in place. So spend down strategies, think of it like you have multiple sources of income. It could be a pension plan from work, it could be a 401k that you're rolling over, it could be a Roth IRA. Like, what order are you going to spend those funds down? You can't just take them from, you know, there's a strategy to it. If you just take from account just arbitrarily, you may be incurring extra taxes and other things. So you want to think about that. You know, you may have to sell things in an account, investments that would be appreciating later. There's a lot of different things. So you want to have a spend down strategy, like what accounts come first. You know, you don't want to, you don't want to probably like silo off your HSA and medical stuff. Things like of that nature are the spend down strategy. You must have a strategy to reduce your taxes. That's all the time. I think one of the misnomers of retirement or getting near retirement is the fact that your taxes are always going to be lower in retirement. A lot of times they are, but it just really depends on your situation. If you've accumulated a large amount of, let's say, pre-tax funds, then that just means that your what are called required minimum distributions, your RMDs at 70.5 are going to be larger. And that could bump you up in tax brackets. We obviously don't know what tax law is going to be in the future. So what I would say is your strategy to reduce taxes should be around, you know, different financial planning items that you can do. Like I named before, having a spend down strategy, you know, avoiding, for instance, you know, drawing down an HSA account for non-medical expenses, you know, maybe holding off on withdrawing from your Roth and withdrawing from another account. So these are just things like that where you want to reduce your taxes, because the Roth is going to be one of those accounts where I've seen it be used, you know, up front in a plan and also towards the back of the plan, depending on what you want to do. Like if you want to leave a legacy for your heirs, a Roth is a really good way to do that because it continues to grow tax-free. And the biggest thing is you don't have to take out of it when you reach 70 and a half. There are no RMDs. So people use that for, you know, kind of like the last, you know, the last bucket of cash that they want to kind of touch there. So let's keep on moving. You must have a portfolio that generates income. And what I mean by this is really just kind of clarify. So I've heard Dave Ramsey talk about having a portfolio and then, you know, selling stuff to basically generate cash. Well, the problem with that strategy is that you don't know if you're going to be selling to generate cash in an up or down market. And then there's the tax implications if you sell that inside 12 months. So what I would say and what I used to do for 5 or 6 years when I was working for a larger RIA in Dallas is we constructed portfolios that did not just generate capital gains, but also generated a huge amount of income, both taxable and tax-free. Talk about tax-free in just a minute. But the point is every month or quarter, that portfolio is kicking off income that you can deposit into your bank account and spend at Walmart, Target, whatever your, you know, preference is. The point being, you don't have to create a taxable event by selling something in your portfolio and then hoping that the market's going to be up on those days that you need to generate cash. So have a portfolio that generates income. You got to have tax-free investments. That's what I was just saying. So primarily those come through municipal bonds. So there are, Texas is a bad example, but let's say you were in New York, you buy a bond issued by the one of the municipalities in New York, whether that's the state or schools or whatever. The income from those bonds would be tax-free, those municipal bonds. So you want to have, or I would say one of the must-haves is inside your investment portfolio, have a diverse set of income sources and assets, not just assets, but in some income sources. You know, maybe you have some taxable income, maybe you have some tax-free income. You know, there's all kinds of things, different ways to structure your portfolio to benefit you and what you're trying to do and what you're trying to create and or maintain in your retirement lifestyle. Okay, so let's get on to some of the asset protection stuff. You got to have proper insurance. Unfortunately, we live in a country that has, I can't say it any other way, it's expensive to be insured. So, you have to start thinking about the health and medical part where largely an employer has paid that for you or the large portion of it. And now you have to foot that yourself. You know, some cases I've seen where people retire early, let's call it 60, and then they don't qualify for Medicare until 65. So you got this 5-year window where you got to consider, do I want to carry health insurance? You know, how healthy have I been? You know, do I want to transfer this risk away from me and, you know, give premiums to an insurance company every month to cover me if I have an event? Or do I just want to self-insure and just pay cash when I go to the doctor? I mean, that's a decision you have to make. But you definitely want to make sure that your risk portfolio, which includes insurance, is properly adjusted for what you're trying to do. So if you choose to do health and medical, obviously life insurance, you know, you may have had a term policy, which was cheaper. And as you get older, towards the end of that term, you're going to have to renew it or convert it or just let it drop. And long-term care, that's the other elephant in the room. You know, it's going to be terribly expensive and will get more expensive, almost cost prohibitive at a certain point for you to not have some type of coverage if, you were not able to perform a few of your or a couple of your activities of daily living, like bathing, eating, you know, dressing yourself and all that kind of stuff. So these are components that you need to probably have somebody look at those for you on a comprehensive level so that, you know, if you become sick or if you were to pass away that, you know, things were in order. So you must have an estate plan. So talking about passing away and becoming sick, you know, the goal with estate plan, I always tell people, is the effective and efficient transfer of property. So effective, cost effective, you don't want to have things held up in probate unnecessarily when you can retitle accounts and put beneficiaries on accounts and things like that. Definitely, you know, obviously have your will in place and things like that. But and the efficient transfer of property, you know, you want it to go to the person you want it to go to. You don't want it to end up in, you know, the coffers of the state that you live in. So one of the things you want to do is make sure you get your living will, a will, your power attorney, and your medical power attorney and just keep on talking over the phone. Just act like it's not there. And all those things in order and update it, right? You have to think about how often that should be done. And I would say if you have children that are out of the house, you know, you're basically going to want to start to look at that stuff again if you haven't in a while, because you're probably the guardianship aspects of your will and all those things like that, you know, the beneficiaries, who's going to go to, the amount that's going to go to each child, those things probably need to be re-looked at. So you want to have that updated. Nothing worse, and I've been in this situation a couple times, it's nothing worse than not having an updated estate plan and things get a little funky after you pass along. So definitely do that. Do your family a favor and love them that much to get that updated. And last but not least is have a purpose, you know, and I can't emphasize this enough. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, you're going to want to maintain a purpose filled existence throughout your life, not just while you're working. You know, while you're working, you know, you got employers and employees that depend on you. You get a lot of self-worth out of that. Normally people do. But once you transition off the scene, you know, you can have the tendency to maybe feel a little less important and a little like, what is my next direction type of deal? And I would just say, map that out. You know, talk to people, whatever you need to do in order to have a plan to not just exist in retirement. You know, you still want to have this fulfilled life, whether you're volunteering or spending time with family or, you know, got another hobby or helping other people, whatever you're doing, just have a purpose. So I did promise a treat for you. So let's go over here to bring the screens over. So on my website, if you go to djh-capital.com, this Generations of Americans is entering the oldest age, blah, blah, blah article. Just scroll down. There's a button there. Get a free portfolio analysis. So let's say you're pre-retirement and you're like, man, is my plan where it needs to be given the fact that I'm, you know, want this type of retirement and I see what type of current lifestyle I have. I want to make sure that I, you know, marry those two ideas together. If you want a free portfolio analysis, just to kind of check out your plan, see if you're on track, click that button. It's going to ask you some questions in the software that we have. And once you answer those questions, I will get an email and we can set a time to try to go through what is going on with you. And I'll offer that free to you. So that's typically takes about 30 minutes or so, but that's my free gift to you. I would say if this is something urgent for you, definitely get on the calendar and don't wait, because the calendar will fill up quickly just because I have my existing clients to work with. But I'm happy to give you this as a kind of like of a bonus, just because of what I talked about today. And you're going to be left with, well, okay, well, what did I do then? So this is what I'm giving you in order to help you that with that. Now, we can always talk in the Facebook group, of course. I'm in there answering questions as an addendum to the podcast. And if you have something, you know, maybe specific to your situation that you want to discuss that I did not cover, by all means, hit me up in there. That is Creating Your Roadmap to Financial Contentment on Facebook. You can just search that. You can search Dominique Henderson CFP, and there's a link there to get to the Facebook group also. So thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.